I mentioned this morning, tonight's lesson comes from Psalm 14, where God describes who the fool is. God describes who the fool is. Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 are almost identical. There's a little bit of difference to them, but not much. They're very similar, and both of them give that description of what God thinks about the fool. He describes the fool and then tells us what he thinks about the fool. And certainly there is a number of places in the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament, where God talks about those people who do not believe in himself, who do not believe in God. Paul even uses part of this psalm in Romans when he's writing that letter to the church in Rome, describing people who have no thoughts about God. And we'll go to that shortly. So he begins Psalm 14 by looking at what the fool says in his heart. Psalm 14, notice verse 1, the very first part. This is considered to be a psalm of David, as is Psalm 53. He says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." The English Standard Version says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. This psalm teaches us. You know, we have different types of psalms. There are psalms that are about difficult things in life. There are psalms about worship. There are psalms about praise and so forth. This psalm is a teaching psalm. Sometimes it's called the wisdom psalm. And the psalm teaches what it means to be an atheist. Or at least what it means to believe that if there is a God, he has no care or concern about the world, and certainly there will not be any next life for them. So that's what these people he calls a fool are like. And he says it's a matter of your heart. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. People don't set about and do research and investigate and logically come up with the conclusion that there's no God. They want to be atheist. Every atheist that ever lived wants to be an atheist. Why? Well, it's very simple. Because if there's no God, there's no judgment. If there's no judgment, there's no accountability. If there's no accountability, we can do absolutely whatever we want in this life. And that's what drives the atheist. God says he's a fool for that belief. So people want to be atheist. And of course, being associated with the world of science, I see atheists all the time. There was a recent book by Stephen Hawking called, I wrote down the name of it, The Grand Design. It's a fairly recent book. And in the book, Hawking, who's probably the most famous physicist since Einstein, argues that there's no need for a God because the world and everything in it created itself. And the whole book is dedicated to showing how and why the world created itself. And therefore, there's no reason for a God. Others like him, if you go back to the early days of communism with Marx, Karl Marx was an atheist, and his views drove Soviet Russia, drove communism. A Newsweek article, hasn't been all that long ago, but some time ago, the cover was about those people who believed in creation, and the whole article was denouncing them for being so stupid and ignorant. And those were the kind of words that were used. People who believe in God, they're stupid and ignorant. God says those people are fools. That's a group of people. That's a class of people. And it's not about their intelligence. It's about the fact that because they don't believe in God, that results in a lifestyle that is also foolish. It's a perverse lifestyle that he talks about in these verses. They have no thoughts about God. In other words, they don't believe in his existence. And they live as though there is no God, which means they live as though there's no judgment or no accountability. Why? Because they've now become their own gods. That's really what it amounts to. When you believe there is no superior being, then you set yourself up to be your own God. And therefore, you get to make all your own rules. And if you get to make all your own rules, then you get to do whatever you want. God said those people are foolish. Turn over with me to Proverbs and see what Solomon said through inspiration. Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, and let's read verse 15. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The first part of verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." Well, he's his own God. He can't do wrong because there's no such thing as wrong. You know, if there is no superior being, if there's no judgment, no accountability, no afterlife, then there's no right and wrong. And you can do whatever you want to do. Because no one's going to call you on the carpet about it. You get to live the life that you want to live. God doesn't matter because God doesn't exist. So the whole idea of a superior being is simply thrown out. And there's no thought given to a God or what that God might be. This is also taught in the New Testament. Luke chapter 12, we mentioned this a little bit in our class this morning, but notice this man in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Notice verse 16. Luke chapter 12, verse 16 and following. This is Jesus. He spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, I will say to myself, soul, you've many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you've provided?'" What did that guy really do? He set himself up as God. He said, "I've done all these things. I don't have to worry about anything else. I'm just concerned about myself." See, he made his own rules. He wasn't concerned about another living soul. He was simply concerned about himself. And that's the result of thinking that you're own God, that you are your own God. You end up being just concerned about yourself and no one else. So back in our psalm, he goes on and describes the person who doesn't believe in God inevitably ends up living such a way. And here's the way he lives. The atheist, they're corrupt. The one who doesn't believe in God, they do abominable works, evil works, malicious works. Not a one of them does good. So this thinking that there's no God will result in a certain type of life. It has to. You're not going to believe that there's no God and end up living a wonderful, good, loving life. You're not going to. You're going to do what? You're going to end up being corrupt. This is the word that was used to describe milk that had gone sour or something that had gone that had become rancid. This was the word. This is what happens to fools. This is what happens to people who don't believe in God and don't allow God into any part of their life. They become rancid. They become sour. They're corrupt. That's the word he uses here to describe these people. Why? Because inevitably, what we believe affects what we do. It has to. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It results. It makes a difference what we believe. That's the danger of not believing in God, because it will affect what you do. And we certainly see that in our world, but we've seen that in other societies throughout history, who over time, more and more people believe that there's not a God. And those societies will end up destroying themselves. There's no other possible result. They will destroy themselves. They become corrupt within. And it's because they don't allow God, the real God, into their lives. I mentioned that Paul quotes this in Romans. Notice Romans chapter 3, where he quotes part of this psalm. Romans chapter 3. Beginning in verse 10, Paul writes this. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. They've together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they've practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they've not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So when someone doesn't believe in God and doesn't believe in a judgment, that's how they end up living. And societies will over time become just like those verses Paul talks about. That's how they will become. It becomes a generation that has degenerated into something corrupt and sinful and worthless. A generation like that, or a civilization, a culture, a society like that, is one that is truly worthless. He goes on. Verses 2 and 3 of our psalm says, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They've all turned aside. They've together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. This is talking about the fool. The fool. He's the one that says in his heart there is no God. And so God is pictured here as looking down from heaven and seeing that the vast majority of people do not believe in Him. And that's certainly true of our world today, of the billions of people. Think about how few really believe in Jehovah God, the God of the Bible. I mean, it is minuscule how many people actually believe in Him. Very, very few. And even many of those who claim to believe in Him don't believe that there's actually going to be a judgment where they're going to be accountable. So he's looking down and he sees the masses of people do not believe in His existence. So once they abandon that belief, they become corrupt and depraved and sinful. They don't do any good. They do evil. Paul describes these people again in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 1. And we don't have time to read all those verses, but notice a few things in Romans chapter 1. In talking about the people who did not believe in God, or certainly did not accept Him as God, verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Then he goes on and talks about where God gave them up to types of passions. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And he gives a whole list of things that describe those people who did not retain God in their minds. What happens to people like that? Notice what he says next in verse 4 of Psalm 14. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call on the Lord. What do people who don't believe in God think about other people? Now, think about the implications of this, and you will see a lot of results in our society that are due simply to the fact that people don't retain God in their image. If you don't believe in God, then you certainly don't believe that people are made in God's image. Therefore, you don't believe that there is a soul or a spirit. So you don't believe there is an afterlife. So you don't believe there is a judgment. Therefore, you simply believe that they are animals like any other type of animal. So therefore, they can be treated as such. Well, if I believe that there's no judgment and that people don't have a soul and they're just like an animal, well, what would be wrong with mistreating them? Nothing whatsoever. That's the result. So I can kill people, certainly, because they're just animals. If I want something they have, I can just kill them and take it. There's nothing wrong with that, if there's no God. And we see that and have seen it throughout history. When people don't believe in God, that's what results. But why don't they believe in God? Because then they have free rein to do whatever they want. No wonder our society pushes atheism on people. You know, atheism is a religion, something that people bow down to. It's their God. Atheism is their God. No God is their God. And that's their belief. So when people are viewed as just animals, then that's the result. Abortion, absolutely nothing wrong with it if they're just animals. Nothing wrong with that. Murder, nothing wrong with it. Adultery, nothing wrong with it. Well, they're just animals. So if they're not made in the image of God, then there's nothing wrong with doing any of those things. Everything is permissible when there's no God. No wonder our society doesn't want to believe in God. They can do whatever they want. Now notice the next few verses. There they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. What do people who don't believe in God think about those of us who do? You know the answer to that. As I already mentioned, they look down upon us as being stupid and superstitious and ignorant. How can you believe in God? How stupid are you? So people who believe in God are looked down upon by those who don't believe in God. And we see that throughout our society, and it's taught in so many different ways. And that won't change. But we can't let their view of us change anything we do. We can't let it. So what if these people don't believe in God? They can't affect me. I can't change my beliefs to fit in with them. I do, as I mentioned this morning from 1 Peter 3:15, I do need to give an answer to why I believe in God. You ever sat down and answered that question? Why do you believe in God? What evidence is there for his existence? Paul answers that question, by the way, in Romans chapter 1, beginning in about, I don't know, verse 18 or so. He answers that question. Anybody can look out into the world and see this natural world and see how it's made. Anybody can see that a superior being made it. Paul says in chapter 1, they are without excuse. No excuse whatsoever. There's ample reasons to believe in the existence of God. So why don't people believe? As I mentioned at the very beginning, they don't want to believe. It's not because they're intelligent. It's not because there's no evidence. They simply don't want to believe in God. So it's what they want. See, they don't want to believe in God. They want to be an atheist. Every atheist wants to be one. And they enjoy being one because of that very thing. They then think they can do whatever they desire. And that's what those verses there at the end are saying. And notice now the very, very last part. Very last verse. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the captivity of His people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. You know, these people who don't believe in God, who have that idea, that teaching, that concept, end up with a very discouraging view of life. If you've ever read the end of the life of several atheists, they end up with a very bleak view of life. Well, no wonder. How could they end up with a good view of life? They end up with a very bleak view of life. But for us, it's just the opposite. See, we believe this life is only a very temporary existence, and that our eternal home will be far, far, far greater. So we have a great outlook on life, whereas the atheists have a horrible outlook on life. So in some respects, they're jealous of us. They can't have any real joy in life. They can't have any peace in life or any real comfort in life, because they believe when they die, it's all over and that's it. But see, we can do what? We can rejoice. We can be glad, God's people, because we know for a fact what awaits the faithful. Those who have turned corrupt and sinful and worldly, who don't believe in God, the end for them is horrible. It's terrifying. But for us who believe in God, we have the most wonderful thing in the world to look forward to. One of these days we'll have a series of lessons on the evidence for God's existence. And I would encourage, if you have friends that maybe teeter back and forth about whether there's a God, I hope you'll bring them to those lessons. Because so many people in the world don't believe in God anymore. And how sad that is, because if they don't change, the Bible says what awaits them. There will not be any atheist in hell. That's a guarantee. Everybody will know then that they were wrong. That there was a God and there is a God and there was a day of judgment and that they were accountable for everything they did. But then it will be too late. Just like the rich man in Lazarus tells us. It'll be too late then. Because God does exist and He's always existed. And He's given us evidence of His existence, both in the world, but especially in His special revelation. And that revelation tells us what we must do to be with Him eternally. It begins with a new birth. We all experience the physical birth, but it's the spiritual birth that's important. But it starts there, it doesn't end there. Then we begin a life where we are faithful all the way through our lives until it is time for us to leave our existence. But if we're faithful, we don't have to dread that, but instead look forward to it as a time of joy. And this evening, if that is your desire, to have that kind of hope and that kind of joy, then I would encourage you to come and accept that invitation. Let us stand and sing.